Hi, I'm Tara, and I'm Raven, the Acid Bath Princess of the Darkness.
And with us today is Azer, who we met at the
anime table at lunch today. And, no, we didn't. Actually, we've known him for a really long time, and we just didn't notice him because we thought he was a prep.
But he's Azer, the Mime of Darkness.
Yeah.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I mean, I wasn't exaggerating. One of the guys was holding the other guy's legs while he went down into the grave to try and put Irving down there flat.
I'll tell you, Irving was a stubborn man, and he had no intention of going into that hole.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Yes, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and beautiful co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Hello. I'm snappy and happy.
Hello.
I'm happy. I don't know why I'm snappy and happy, because I'm reading the most miserable news I've ever read in my entire life.
Oh, God.
And I'm about to share it with you. So I'm going to take my negativity and throw it right on you. It's called an energy transfer for those of you. For those of you that are, you know, worshipping your cocks, I'm transferring my cock energy over to you. Cock worship. What a bunch of horse shit. Oh, I was listening to that episode and I was like, what a bunch of horse shit. You know, well, there's
each
a lot
their
of
their own, though, as I like to say.
Yeah. But there's one episode a month I like to get out all the negative news, and this will be it. First of all, you remember Jesus, that guy Jesus?
Yes, the real one?
I don't know if he's real or not, but you know, okay. The guy that everybody talks about.
Yes, yeah. I didn't know if you were talking about
Cox for Christ and the whole nightmare.
The guy that walks around, you know, New York or something.
No. The dude who apparently was really fucking cool.
Yes.
He's in the Bible and stuff. Story been told a million times before the Bible even came around. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. The guy.
Yes.
The man. The dude. The Jesus.
The OG.
The Jesus.
The OG.
No one fucks with the Jesus. So back in his day, the big thing was, you know, not COVID-19 or herpes or chlamydia or anything like that. The big thing back then was leprosy. That's what we always hear about, is Jesus was there with the lepers in the leper colony, hanging out, touching the wounds, cleaning the wounds, the whole nine yards, which was an amazing thing to do, because apparently leprosy was a flesh-eating disease that would cause major pain and suffering, and it was very prevalent back in the time of Jesus. 0 AD, for those of you keeping
score.
Well,
I was going to say 2023 years ago.
2023 years ago. That's good math on your part.
Thanks.
Chrissy. I knew I had you around for a reason. That's that. That's some Adam the Lion math right there. So leprosy was this huge deal, and leprosy still persists to this day. There are leper colonies out there now. Leprosy is now cured pretty readily by antibiotics, especially if you catch it early. It's not usually it's transmitted human to human, but it's not extraordinarily contagious, so they don't worry about it too much. And almost never is it diagnosed or found here in the United States, because we just don't have leprosy. It's not a thing that happens. It happens in other swampy, hot countries where they're in touch with a lot of animals and different wildlife. But here, the only wildlife we're in touch with are, you know, pretend dogs that walk the streets of New York.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about it
too much. I have a feeling you're going to tell us it's making a comeback here.
Leprosy is flying off the shelves down in Florida. And of course it's Florida.
God.
Leprosy is becoming a problem in Florida. They have had a meteoric, quote unquote, meteoric rise in cases of leprosy, especially in South Florida. Now, they believe this is because...
Not in Palm Beach.
No, not in Palm Beach. Nothing touches Palm Beach. Palm Beach is in a bubble, just like the Hamptons or Palm Beach.
Yeah.
Or the Hamptons. The two places I can think of that have lots of expensive houses. No, not in Palm Beach. We're not talking about Palm Beach, Chrissy, when we talk about leprosy. We're talking about, I don't know, where was Kid Rock born? Somewhere down there.
He's from, like, Michigan.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, okay. Detroit.
No, I thought he was down in... oh, no. This is one of my friends who introduced me to Kid Rock, was born in Hollywood, Florida.
Wait, what about... God, why am I drawing a blank on his name? That does the Sugar Mamas.
That does the Sugar Mamas?
That got on the Sugar Mama site.
Oh, Marlon. Marlon, yes.
Is Marlon's
down in Florida.
Area?
Yes, Marlon has leprosy. That's what you get for dating that old woman. He has gone silent. Mm. But that's a different conversation for a different day. I'm going to leave it alone for a minute and hope that I don't lose a friend for life. Yeah. I have very few. I need to keep them around as long as possible. So
I'll always be your friend.
Oh, thanks, baby. I appreciate that. I called you baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. What's up?
Leprosy making a comeback in Florida. I'm reading about it. They have pictures of it. It's awful. No one wants it. It's terrible. They think it's because somebody or some people are coming in contact with animals like armadillos, like possibly eating the roadkill, picking them up, eating the roadkill, because they do carry leprosy in general as a bacteria on their body. Why you would ever pick up an armadillo or even look at it the wrong way is beyond me. Armadillos, while I have nothing against them, are one of the weirdest creatures on earth, and I have zero interest in interacting with them. They are weird little animals, and they carry leprosy. So there's another reason just not to get involved in a pack of armadillos.
Them carry on.
Hey, you mind if I join your armadillo party?
I thought armadillos were big out in like the West or
Texas. They're everywhere. I see them here. They're everywhere. Yeah,
I thought possums were our kind of armadillo.
Possums are our armadillos in population, but they're still here in general.
Okay.
I see them like, you know, I don't know where I see them.
Do they have that spiky shell?
You know, I see them at the store. I see them at Whole Foods. I say hi to them at the Braves game. Well, you know, I see armadillos all the time.
You can probably definitely get one to eat at the farmer's market. You know, that DeKalb.
Yeah. Pretty sure you can get dog there, too. Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff at that farmer's market. I won't even go there. It's too close to home. I don't want to get accosted by anybody. But there are some weird meats over at that. You know, there's a huge, giant supermarket. Like, they literally occupied an old Macy's is what they did. They just turned an old Macy's into this multi-floor market for people from the Middle East and Asia, you know, to find foods and Spain.
International.
International foods. But you start walking through that market and you realize just how many foods you didn't realize were actually available, out on Earth.
I know.
And then you wonder why anybody would consider this a food on Earth. But that's just my small, you know, American USA mind thinking small. So leprosy is around. It has a meteoric rise down in Florida. As if we need more bullshit. Now we got to deal with leprosy. On top of that, in California, they have recently busted a biological
lab. I saw that.
Owned by a Chinese company.
Yes, that were doing like bioengineered mice.
They were putting human cells into mice and turning them in like their blood into some like hybrid human hybrid blood.
I know. It was really weird.
And then this lab was creating pregnancy tests and COVID-19 tests from bodily fluids, tissue, and other human samples that they found in the lab stacked on top of each other all over the place. Go look at the pictures. It's disgusting.
Jesus.
They had to euthanize.
Jesus help us.
Jesus help us is right. We need you at the leprosy colony, and we also then need you over in California because some of these they had isolated dangerous biological conditions. In other words, herpes, syphilis, COVID-19, pregnancy, which is another dangerous biological condition in the United States of America in 2023.
And I saw this was all because they found like a hose, a water hose.
A hose sticking out of a wall that wasn't attached properly. They did an inspection around the building, and the building inspector was probably not keen-eyed on anything except for the fact that he wanted to bust the balls of these particular people about this hose. So that turns into a further investigation of the inside of the place, which then reveals hundreds and hundreds of mice that are genetically engineered, hundreds of different body samples, blood samples, tissue samples, and then on top of that, isolated biological agents inside of this. So now no one is claiming that they are creating like biological weapons, but the lab was actually...
It doesn't seem good.
It doesn't seem good. It doesn't seem like a positive revelation about what's going on in anywhere, because... It is really easy to rent warehouse space, and who the fuck is checking up on the shit that's going on here? Do you remember when COVID first started and I found a place that was doing COVID testing before other people were doing COVID testing? You remember it was like off the highway and you had to make an appointment and then show up and you were in this dark room and someone took your blood and then ran behind a wall and then they were like, you're negative. Okay, thanks. It was long before COVID testing was available at home or really anywhere else.
Yeah.
I found through friends who were chatting on a chat message, you know, that's where you find all the good shit, You know, this time we weren't looking for cocaine. This time we were looking for COVID tests. Right. And we found a company that was doing this, like on the cutting edge of COVID testing at that time in early 2020, where you could go get your blood drawn. And then a couple hours later, they would let you know whether you were positive or negative. So we went there a couple times. It paid like $200 a test or something to get this done. When I didn't have $200, I still don't have $200.
This was so you could go on the brothers trip.
Yes. So I could go on the brothers trip that I never went on. Oh, the brother trip? Oh, yeah.
The man love trip. Hey, brother.
Yeah, the man love trip. Yeah. Man love. We're doing a man love trip. You want to come?
Come on, brother.
Okay. Why not? Well, I got to lose at this point. The world's falling apart. COVID's destroying us all. So this biological agent factory that's going on, no one's claiming that they were making weapons or any kind of, you know, had any kind of ill intent at the end of the day. But it makes you think. And that this warehouse also opened in 2019, mid-2019. Now, I'm not claiming anything that I don't know to be true.
Let the conspiracy theories fly.
I'll let Joe Rogan do that on my behalf. But if, Joe, if you're listening, wink, wink, nod, nod, we got to get to the bottom of that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is crazy that you're allowed to open up at all any kind of biological engineering company without massive amounts of
oversight. Yeah.
Now, I realize they might be flying under the radar of any oversight whatsoever. When an inspector looking for a fucking glory hole on a goddamn hose finds a biological chemical factory, I think we're in trouble. This is highly disturbing to me. I don't know about you, but it's highly disturbing.
Yeah. How many more of these are out there?
Oh, God. Chrissy, you got to imagine there are hundreds. Are they creating like sheep people somewhere? Sheeple?
You never know what kind of experiments people are doing.
You never know what's going on behind closed doors. Now, I've created a few clones in my time, mainly of cactus, and they've all died. But, you know, I could be doing this in my house and no one would know.
I know. That's
with
what
a
I was just
rudimentary
thinking.
Knowledge of science and access to a few dangerous things, I could be the next Heisenberg. I really could.
Well, you've always aspired to be.
Always aspired to be a crystal meth dealer of epic proportions, yes. But I'm just too lazy to get to there. So I stop usually at the first batch.
You just need to strip down to your underwear.
Oh, yes.
And rent an RV.
And rent an RV. I love how that show starts, how Breaking Bad starts, when he's like, my name is Walter White. And if you find this, da-da-da-da-da, you know? Yeah. And then it all ties back together in the end. It's wonderful.
It
I love it.
It's a great show.
But, you know, I was always too lazy about my cooking of crystal meth because I just can't get past the part where the crystal meth is sitting in front of me and not doing it to get it out to the streets. So I just cook up a batch, go on an epic bender, and then I try and sober up for a couple years
never
before I go
your
on another
own product.
Well, we should really look into this whole California... So California bioengineering thing. Somebody should get on that, don't you think? The FBI, the CIA, the numbers?
I mean, I think somebody's onto it now, but it's scary.
The whole world's onto it now. It's all over the place, actually.
Scary.
Yeah, it really is scary. Speaking of death and destruction, two deaths have happened over the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to share. I know we're not... You heard it here last, essentially. Paul Reubens, Pee-wee Herman,
yep.
And Sinead O'Connor. Mm-hmm. Sinead O'Connor, I have a lot of respect for. Not only was she did she have one... super fantastic song, the Prince song.
Nothing compares to you.
She also had a couple of other songs that I liked.
She did, yeah.
I had that album. I actually liked that album very much. But then she took a stand against the Catholic Church long before it was in fashion to take a stand against the Catholic Church, and she lost her entire career because of it.
Pretty much.
All of it. No, she went away. There's no pretty much. She went away. I mean, in Ireland, she continued.
She was the first of the canceled.
She was canceled before cancel culture was canceling. You know what I'm saying? And all because she ripped up a picture of Pope John Paul live on TV on Saturday Night Live. Then a couple months later, she did a tour with Bob Dylan, and she was booed by 25,000 people off stage. And do you know who came to the middle of that stage to comfort her? Kris Kristofferson. I
our
just
man.
Saw this video the
our
other
man.
Day. Yeah, our man, Kris Kristofferson, who's not dead yet, by the way.
not dead yet.
Which we wrongfully claimed on another episode. But he actually came to the middle of the stage to give her a hug and tell her it was going to be all right. And you know, not
good
that she needed
Chris,
it, but he did it.
With
he
a
was
K.
consoling. Chris with a K. So I have a lot of respect for Sinead O'Connor and what she did. Having been, being in a family where the Catholic Church has negatively affected our family in so many horrific ways, I don't even want to begin to get into it. Sinead O'Connor was kind of a hero for me long before I think she became a hero for a lot of other people once it came to light that the Catholic Church was a whole fucking bullshit worth of nonsense. The other person who lost his career over nonsense was Pee Wee Herman.
Mm.
Pee Wee Herman, you really have to have your head in a hole, even if you're young, not to know who Pee Wee Herman is. Pee Wee Herman, Pee Wee's Playhouse, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, he had this character. He did a character of the Groundlings called Pee Wee, and he loved kitschy stuff. Like, he liked that kitschy shit, you know, little knickknacks and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he started this little one-man act at the Groundlings for like 10 minutes at a time. He would come out as Pee Wee Herman. He would do this. Universal then got so interested in this act that he was doing, some executives, that they gave him a movie. He went from Groundlings to his own movie overnight, basically. And that movie was
so good
and so good.
I loved it. Large Marge.
All of
Remember?
It.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yes.
The Rube Goldberg, the beginning of the movie where the Rube Goldberg machine, you know, cooks his toast and wakes him up and all that. If you haven't seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you have to watch this immediately, if not sooner. It's a brilliant movie, all from the mind of the demented Pee-wee Herman, also known as Paul Rubens. The movie did so well that then he parlayed that into this extraordinarily subversive comedy show that was on Saturday mornings as a part of a kids lineup, but it wasn't really for kids. It was more like subversive jokes about so he was cheering on the, you know, LGBT community with these subversive jokes. He was making very adult humor, but he was making it in a way that children could laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
And parents had no idea what they were watching. So they would literally sit their children, like me, in front of the television to watch Pee Wee Herman. But even at a young age, I caught on that something was not quite right about this. Not quite right, but it was like something, there was additional humor in this that I wasn't quite getting at the time, but I liked. I remember that Pee Wee's Playhouse, had an episode where they literally showed a minute and 16 seconds of a dog eating dog chow in a weird way, like almost like ASMR, right?
Uh-huh.
I was, think about that. The National Broadcasting Corporation gave Pee Wee Herman almost a minute and a half of time to allow a dog to slop up puppy chow, and it was a joke. It was pastiche. It was weird. It was a joke. It was meant for adults and weirdos. And they let it happen on a kids show in the morning. Sandra Bernhardt was on that. I mean,
lots of guests.
Everybody. The genie. The whole nine yards. You know, what did he say? Mimekaleka, hi, Mecca, hi, Neo. The genie would come out. That's right. The Pee-wee's word of the day. The whole nine yards. It was a brilliant television show. He got burnt out on that. He decided he was going to cut the show off, take a break, reinvent himself, come back. He goes to a gay porn cinema. He gets caught masturbating at the gay porn cinema. He gets arrested and paraded around miserably. I mean, just like the cure.
Isn't that what you go to the gay porn cinema for?
Of course.
Yes.
That's why you go to any porn cinemas to whack off.
Yes.
What do you expect is going to happen in a porn cinema? There's nothing else to do. I've been to a porn cinema. They used to have one here in Atlanta, right in the smack dab in the middle of the Buckhead Theater. And I went with two friends, and it was weird, and it was creepy, and it was obvious there were men masturbating in there. But you know what? I did it. I went in once, and I had the experience, and then I left, right? I didn't masturbate myself, but, you know, to each their own.
Yes.
But I was also with my friends, and I thought it might be a little weird to whip it out. But we watched a porn movie, and then we left. But what happened to hundreds of thousands of people every single day going in, watching a porn movie, maybe touching yourself a little bit, a place where you would absolutely expect that would be happening. And then he gets arrested, probably because he's famous. Someone recognizes him because he's famous, calls the cops on him. He gets arrested for lewd and vicious actions inside in public, even though he's not in public. He's on a private property. And then he gets paraded around. He becomes the butt of many, many gay jokes around the country. And it destroys his career. Disney pulls him out of all of their stuff. Universal pulls all his stuff. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, no longer running on reruns. I mean, it's just like ridiculous how this guy got crucified because the assumption was he's gay. Who fucking cares? You didn't get that about Paul Rubens from the beginning? And does it really fucking matter whether who he's sleeping with?
No.
His career was destroyed, and he never got the comeback that he so richly deserved. He never hurt anybody. He never touched anybody that we know of. Paul was just an artist, and he went and whacked off at a cinema. The guy gave us 5 years of, you know, wonderful TV. Guys can't whack off everyone. He can't feed the pigeons every once in a while. Come on now. 21 EPMs. You got to get him in.
Yeah, somehow.
So I have to say, on both these accounts, both of these struck me as really sad. Sinead O'Connor, Paul Rubens, gone too soon, both of them. Never had the comebacks that they so richly deserve. There's a lot of parody in their stories, as far as I'm concerned. And they were both champions of things that were not popular back in the day. And I absolutely adore the bravery. I wish I could be that brave. I wish I could be that brave. So I say cheers to you, Paul, and cheers to you, Sinead. I hope I see you on the other side. Good for you. Speaking of death, last episode, you and I, you got the epic Irving funeral story.
Yes.
Wow.
It was a doozy. I mean,
you must go back and listen to the last episode if you haven't.
It wasn't one thing that went wrong. It was
It was all of the things. Everything went wrong. But I felt like, you know, I was one of the four people at the funeral. But there was another person that was there that I think we can readily get a hold of. And that is my mom.
Yes.
I want to verify that I'm not telling a fish tale here, that these things actually did happen. Because I know it's probably going to sound fantastical when you hear it. Like, could this have all possibly happened at one funeral? Yes, it did. And even though it's my perspective, I'm sure other people that were there, the few other people that were there, also got their, you know, point of view. And so for the first time ever on the commercial break, and very rarely do we have guests, I want to invite my mom onto the show. Actual mom, not, hi, Brian, it's your mom. But my actual, hi, Brian, it's your mom. You know what I'm saying?
I think we could have her
Do you want to just like dial her up
we
and
should.
See?
Let's
okay,
just
hold
do
on
it.
One second. Hey, everybody. It's your favorite part of the show where I pine for more of your attention. First way you can help fill this hole in my soul, go to Apple and leave us a positive review. It takes 2 seconds out of your day and it really does help grow the show. But there's no quid pro quo here. You don't have to give us anything to get something for free. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button and send us your physical address. We'll send you a 21 EPM sticker directly to your locale. You can also go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited episodes the same day they air here on the audio feed. 855-TCB-8383 is where you go to drop us a text message. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all at 1-855-TCB-8383. Add the commercial break on Instagram if you're into that kind of thing. And TCB podcast on TikTok. It's what I hear the kids are doing. It's all the rage. One last thing. If you could, if you will, if you would, visit our sponsors' websites. Buy their products if you're in the market for them. And always use our specialized URLs or codes when and if you can. They pay our bills, and who knows, you may be the reason we have electricity in the studio tomorrow, and I thank you ahead of time for that kind gesture. Let's listen to those sponsors for a few minutes, and then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. This episode is sponsored in part by Nutrafol. We just did a Frankie B episode about hair loss and hair thinning and all the crazy things and drama he's going through. But hair thinning is not just a Frankie B problem. It will actually affect over half of us throughout our lifetimes. And it's not only common, it's actually pretty normal. But now we can join thousands of people and Frankie's hair follicles who are standing up for their strands using Nutrafol. I'm actually experiencing a little bit of this on top of my own noggin. And I often wonder, is the stress causing the thinning or is it the other way around? But Nutrafol addresses key root causes through a whole body approach to hair health. And that's why so many people are doing something about their hair thinning and hair loss with Nutrafol. Thinning hair happens to both men and women. And Nutrafol has multiple unique formulas to provide exactly what your body needs to grow hair based on biology, age, and other lifestyle factors. So everyone, it's time to take the first step toward visibly thicker and healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the code TCB. Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TCB. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TCB. Address your thinning hair at the root cause. Let Nutrafol help you. Nutrafol.com, using the promo code TCB. And thanks to Nutrafol for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break. happy to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Harry's. Astrid and I had an opportunity to shoot off for a couple of days and relax without the children, and in an effort to reduce our irritation level, we decided to only use carry-on bags. When we got to the hotel, I noticed that my 5 o'clock shadow was a 9 o'clock shadow, and I was without my Harry's razor. Luckily for me, the nice gentleman at the front desk gave me a plastic, disposable razor that then promptly cut up my entire neck. By the end of the weekend, I had a full neck beard because I refused to use that razor again. I shave on almost a daily basis to make sure I look my best on camera for my wife, and so I don't give rug burn to my children when I hug them. I've been using Harry's razors for over 5 years now. I never have to worry about refill cartridges. They show up right at the front door, or I can buy them at many different locations, and the handle is heavy, sleek, and beautiful. Nothing excites me quite like getting a new Harry's razor handle. I also use their shaving cream and some of their skin products. I swear by this razor. I've been using Harry's for a long time. I've even gotten some friends and family members to use their subscription service, and I have not heard a complaint yet. A good clean shave makes you feel great, and you know your partner's going to be excited when you're on fleek with that tight chiseled jawline accented by a good clean shave. So get your best shave ever this summer with Harry's razor and skincare products. You can get a $13 starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/tcb. That's harrys.com/tcb for a starter set. Do yourself a favor, get a good clean shave with a great razor from harrys.com/tcb. That's harrys.com/tcb. And thanks to Harry's for being a sponsor of the commercial break. This is going to require technical things to happen. So let's hope that we keep you on the line here, guys. I'm talking to you, the podcast universe. Hold on. Let me dial mom. Let's see if we... Oh, wait. Okay. Let's see if we can get her here. Hold on one sec. Ah, there we go. Ah, see, it's working.
It worked.
Hello?
Mother.
Yeah.
Hi, it's your son.
Hi, honey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Can you turn down Judge Judy just a little bit?
Did you know I was watching Judge Judy?
Well, Mom, I had one of two guesses. It was either Dr. Phil or Judge Judy. So I just took a guess.
I'm already done with Dr. Phil today.
Okay. Well, at least you got your daily fill of Dr. Phil. And what about QVC? You're staying off the QVC, right?
I'm off the QVC because there's nothing left that I haven't already bought.
I agree with that sentiment.
Plus, my closet is full.
I know. Astrid was telling me that you have a full closet, so you can no longer buy stuff from QVC. My mom also called me and asked me if they could take QVC off our television. I'm like, I don't think it works that way, Mom. Mom, I'm here with Chrissy. We're on the podcast. Say hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Hi, Chrissy. Hi. Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
So, Mom, so, you know, yesterday, Chrissy and I, you know, fresh off Swerving Irving's funeral, I had to tell the story about the funeral because it was so funny. First of all, I'll say this, I'll preface this to the audience and to you. Irving was a super wonderful gentleman. He certainly was good to you and good to the family, and he was a lovely guy. And I'm sorry for your loss and others who obviously are going to miss Irving very badly, but he was older and he had been sick for a while. And so this wasn't completely unexpected. Am I right?
Right. He always said he was old. He was 88 and he always said he was old, but I never felt like he was old until he started forgetting what he had for breakfast.
I forgot what I had for breakfast. What does that say about me?
No, but I mean, I'm talking to him like a half an hour after he's eaten breakfast. I said, honey, what did you have? I don't remember anymore. So I knew then there was a big age difference between us.
Yeah. What did you guys have? 30 years between the two? Well, how old was he? He was 90?
No, he was 88. So you had 72.
Okay. So he was like 15 years.
Difference, yes.
Yeah, that's the exact age difference between Astrid and I. So it's just it's a cautionary tale of things to come. I'm going to tell Astrid she can go find a younger Brian when I turn 65. I'm just going to get the drama out of the way. Put me in the retirement home. You give me a discount over there?
I absolutely will. We could get a room for two, honey.
Well, Mom, I'm going to take that under consideration strongly.
You at least would get a referral fee.
Yeah, I'm going to get, can we split the referral fee?
Sure, it's $1,000.
Oh,
I get $500.
Yeah,
and you can have $500, but save it for me in case I go overdraft my account.
Okay. Which is, well, Mom, that bank loves you. I mean, they just keep making money. They just love you over there.
They do.
Yeah. And by the way, $500 is $400 more than we've ever made on the commercial break. So it's good news. It's good news for us over here. So I was telling the story about the funeral and you asked me to come. And of course I said yes, because I wanted to be there for you. But I fully expected that there were going to be other human beings that showed up to Irving's funeral. I guess I didn't take into account the fact, well, first of all, he wasn't from here, so he didn't have like a, he didn't have a base of people here in Atlanta. But do you think the reason why a lot of people didn't show up, do you think it was the 107 degree weather, or do you think it was because they just literally couldn't physically make it?
I think it was a combination of both, but actually Irving was a very quiet, reserved person, and he didn't make a lot of friends easily. He was extremely smart. He was a brainiac. But he, socially, he wasn't too swift.
He was a little awkward?
Huh?
He was a little awkward?
Yeah, he was. He was a little socially awkward. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't real responsive to people and stuff. So it's not like he had this whirlwind of friends here. He'd been in Georgia for about 8 years.
Yeah.
He's from New York, but he's been That's in Georgia minute. For a long time.
That's a minute. I was... Sir, I thoroughly, you know, you say you told me the thing was at 10:30, come at 10 or whatever you told me. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a bunch of people there and I'm going to fucking talk all day long and blah, 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 blah. So when I showed up at 10:15 to find my twin brother, the only person that was at all at the funeral, I was a little surprised. And then poor, you know, and then they put a green tent over you like it's a fucking sauna. I mean, it's just like sweltering hot under there. And then they had speakers right. As if someone couldn't hear what was going on. Well, I guess maybe you couldn't.
Yeah, I got a hearing aid situation this for damn sure.
We'll figure out the hearing aid situation. So let me ask you this. When you, you know, for you who knew Irving a lot better than you knew me, It seemed like the funeral was a bit of a comedy of errors. Did you interpret it that way? Were you also seeing it the same way?
No, all I was seeing actually was you and Kevin sweating to death and the cantor singing in Hebrew, which I didn't know what in the hell she was talking about, and John crying off to the side, but I don't know why he was doing that, because I'm sure what he was thinking about was his inheritance. Made him smile.
Thank God John doesn't know about the commercial break.
Listen, you know what?
What?
He took me out to lunch the other day to our favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. And he's so cheap. His father used to tell me he was so cheap. He was so cheap. When he asked me what did I think his father thought of him, I told him he was frugal, and that seemed to have passed. But anyway, we go out to eat, and we order fish, and we order this, and of course, I ordered everything unhealthy. He ordered everything healthy because he's a real health freak. And then, and it's his treat. And then I said, oh, we've got to get the dessert. You love chocolate and ice cream, and they have the most wonderful dessert here. And he goes, well, I don't want to have it for lunch. You know, he's sort of literal.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I meant for after lunch. So anyway, he asked for a dessert menu, and we got it. And the dessert was $8.95. And he said, you know what? I don't really eat this kind of stuff, and I'm sure you don't really care. So for today, let's not do the dessert, because it can get kind of pricey.
But on the day of his father's death, he can't afford the chocolate dessert. I mean, I like John. I think he's a very nice guy. But his dad was a literal millionaire. The guy dug for oil for major oil corporations. He knew where to find the oil. So the guy wasn't, it's not like he didn't have a penny to his name. He did pretty well for himself. So John couldn't even splurge, and John did pretty well for himself. So John couldn't even splurge on the chocolate cake. I love you, John, but I mean, you couldn't splurge for the chocolate cake. And then to tell you that you can't also get the chocolate cake is a little bit strange.
Well, no, I mean, it's really obvious that I'm a full-figured girl in many ways, and he's a stick. But on the other hand, let me pay the $8.95 and get the damn dessert that I want.
Mom, how in the fuck did you get in that limousine? How did you get in that stretch limousine?
Let me tell you, it wasn't easy. And when you live in a retirement home with windows everywhere, everybody in the place is going, oh, did you come into a lot of money? And I said, no, I did not. They said, why did you need a stretch limousine to take you somewhere? I said, oh, my boyfriend paid for it.
And he's dead.
He's dead. Well, the only reason we had the limousine is because he's dead. Because if it was John, he'd say, listen, let's get an Uber.
Is it true that Irving's first wife set up the entire funeral arrangements before they even divorced, before she passed away?
Yes, it was his first wife died a long time ago. His second wife lives here in Georgia. That's how he met her. She set up all the funeral arrangements for everything.
Wow, that's a commitment.
Irving paid for it.
Okay, what I noticed about the limousine, and the reason why I ask if the first wife died, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that?
Oh, yeah, probably at least.
So she dies 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it is. What I noticed is I think the limousine was the same age as the however many years passed since she died. I think the limousine was from that same year. Because that was an old school stretch limo, like a Lincoln Town Car stretch limo. And I just was so surprised to see one on the road. They usually don't see those anymore.
Yeah, and that baby went 85 miles an hour down the street. You know why? Because John kept yelling at her, get us there. Why weren't you on time? Blah, 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 blah.
You better get us there. No one's waiting. My dad's waiting.
And that's what I said to him. I said, my two boys are out in the 99-degree sun. Hurry it up. And John was in the back of the limo, and on his phone, he could see that we were going 85 miles an hour. And he's yelling through the window of the limousine, ma'am, you've got to slow down. We're not driving safely. And I said, oh, for God's sake, who cares? Everybody's going to move out of the way for this car.
Yeah.
And, exactly. You know, it just, oh, my God.
It's like the Antiques Roadshow actually rolling down the road.
Well, I'll tell you what, in a retirement home, it was a huge deal.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
But it was the talk of the day.
It was. At lunchtime, people kept coming up to me saying, I thought your boyfriend died. I said, he did die. That's why I was in the limousine. I probably will never see one in my life again.
No. Someday the commercial break's going to make some money and we'll put you in a limousine or something like that. When that limousine showed up, I guess my question is, have you ever been in a limousine? Like an actual stretch limousine like that? You've never been in a stretch limousine?
Never.
And not even like, when you and Dad got married, you didn't have a limo that picked you up?
Oh, no, we had a Ford Focus or something.
A Ford Focus! Did you tape the tin cans onto the back?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Just married. It was quite romantic.
Well, hey, listen, you were young and you were young and ready to have four children, four boys who were going to drive you crazy. So when we get there, you know, and they pop you on the golf cart so that you could get down to the actual gravesite. Because I knew right away when I got there, with that slope and the grass and the hill, I was like, I'm afraid mom's just going to roll into the grave. Like she's going to fall and just roll into the grave.
You got that right on a walker. That's not where it's at all.
No, you wouldn't have ever made it down there. Even though it was 50 feet, you wouldn't have made it down there. But I just love how the lady pulled the golf cart right into the tent and the tent started just rolling down the hill with her. It was a good move to just clear out. Since no one else was there, just clear out the chairs and let the golf cart sit there. Yeah. It was so...
I was very comfortable and cool.
Well, I'm sure you were. You had, you know, the top of the golf cart and on top of that you had
the canopy.
And the canopy. That's right. Kevin and I were just sitting in the sauna known as the canopy with John. The canter too got me. I actually like the Hebrew singing, I don't know. There's something about it that feels good to me, I guess. I like when I hear that the people singing in Hebrew. But it went on for fucking ever. She said it was going to take 10 to 15 minutes. We were out there. She was singing for at least 45 minutes. Yeah. Well, that didn't include the two guys trying to lower Irving down into the grave. And they almost flipped the poor guy over. And I just...
Oh, honest to God, wasn't that awful?
It was awful.
They were hanging over the hole of the grave. They were both of them had these big stomachs. And they were hanging over the hole, trying to push the coffin down into the ground. And John's up there with a suit that he's never worn in his whole life. He wore his dad's suit because he's used to
T-shirt.
Tennis shoes and... T-shirt, and nothing ever matches, and his ass crack always hanging out. I mean, he is not what you would call a formal person. But he's there in a shirt. Then you got Kevin, who's got a blazer on, and then you got Brian, who's got a pair of khakis and some shirt that he found in Hawaii. I mean, honest to God, what a group.
Mom, I didn't know that I would qualify to be in the funeral group in the first place, so I figured at the least that I could, that I could accompany my, like, the least I could give myself was wearing a short sleeve shirt on a 100-degree day. Like, I didn't want to wear a 3-piece suit knowing how crazy hot it was going to be outside. And when they were lowering him down into the grave, I mean, I wasn't exaggerating. One of the guys was holding the other guy's legs while he went down into the grave to try and put Irving down there flat. It was amazing.
I know. I'll tell you, Irving was a stubborn man, and he had no intention of going into that hole. He was going to make it as hard as he could.
I think he was mad at his wife. Hospice, go ahead.
No, he. I think when you think that he was in hospice for 3 weeks, and they kept saying every day he was going to not make it that day.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you what, he fought like hell.
Yeah. That's the exact opposite of what I would do. I'm so lazy, I'd be like, let me go now.
Give me a Kevorkian's nephew and let it be over.
Kevorkian's nephew?
Yes.
Jesus.
Mom. Yes.
So then here's the other part that I don't get. And I got it, but I mean, I understood what was going on, but I didn't understand how it all happened. Is that when John got up, Irving's son got up to give his little eulogy, if that's what you want to call it, he brought two emails along with him, and one of them said, "Dear Irving, sorry I couldn't make it." And I was like, "Who is saying that?" Which person said, "Dear Irving, can't make it to your funeral?" Oh. Irving is the person that's concerned least with who shows up to his funeral. He's not there. I mean, he's there, but he's not really there. You know what I'm saying?
That was his loving daughter-in-law and grandchildren, who he paid for from day one so that they took a breath until today. He hardly ever talked to them. They didn't give a flying rat's ass about him. And they sent an email to John to say, "We aren't going to make it to the funeral.
Sorry, we can't make it."
They didn't even make it to see Irving.
That's insane to me. That's insane to me. I mean, knowing the backstory, I mean, I don't want to get into everyone's personal details, but knowing the backstory, after someone takes care of you for most of your adult life and then you can't be bothered to show up to the funeral, knowing that you have the money to do so because the guy gave you the money to do so. It's like, it's incredibly rude and insensitive. But on top of that, I just got the sense that, like, you know, everybody, the cantor kept saying how wonderful Irving was and how family oriented he was and all this other stuff. And then John got up and the only three things he could say about his dad was, "Everybody thinks my dad was a nice guy, but he was really a tough ass businessman." Number two, "My dad loved us so much, he rented another apartment in the same building so he could be away from us." And then in his art studio, quote unquote. And then number three was, "My dad took me to see a movie about insects that rule the world." So, you know, that was good.
They were very close, as you can tell.
My children can only remember about me is the one movie they took me to see, I took them to see, is going to be a miserable day, I'll tell you what. But here's the kicker of all of this. The thing that got me so riled up, like, just, Mom, you don't know how hard I was trying not to laugh, is when the cantor said, you know, "In the Jewish tradition, we do one last thing for a mensch. One last favor you can't repay. We help him transition into the next life by, you know, helping to move the earth back onto his grave," or whatever she said. It was a beautiful little saying she had, right? And I was thinking, oh, great. Here's the part where John, you know, dumps one shovel of dirt.
One.
Or.
Usually it's one.
It's one. Yeah, it's one. Or you take your hand and grab some dirt and throw it on there. But Irving just kept shoveling. I mean, John just kept shoveling on top of Irving and shoveling on top of Irving. It was almost as if he wanted to help him get there quicker. Like, The canter.
I did notice that. I thought, I haven't been to a funeral, because we just don't do that. We have cremation and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I never been to a funeral. And I swear to God, I thought, didn't John even have the courtesy to hire somebody to bury the guy? He's doing it himself so he could save $100?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The two potbelly pigs who were just down in his grave, they got a machine that could actually do that for you, John? And the cantor had to go and put her hand on his shoulder and say, okay, John, that's enough. And then he walked over with the shovel and handed it to Kevin. And I was like, I don't even know if I should be at the funeral, let alone throwing dirt on his grave. And then I have to make a decision about how many times I'm supposed to shovel. Because now John's done 30 shovels. Does he expect me to do 30 shovels or two shovels or one shovel? I'm glad Kevin set the precedent by doing three. One would have been rude. Two is probably like you're being lazy about it. Three, that's the appropriate amount, I think.
And then he shoveled again after that, right?
Then John
he
kept shoveling.
Brian turned to me. He turned to me and he said, this is for you, Mom. And then he went up and shoveled the dirt onto the coffin. I thought
they
were so sweet.
Oh, it's not for me. It's for you.
Just know, Mom. If for some reason you don't get cremated, I'll help lower you down. Don't worry about it.
Okay, but I want to be cremated. Yes. I want those ashes to sit with you on your dining room table every day, reminding you of how wonderful a mother I was.
I'm gonna let the kids play with it in the pool. Don't worry, Mom. I'm gonna take care of you. You're gonna have a lot of fun with the kids when we go over. He wouldn't stop shoveling. The poor bastard would not stop shoveling. Because the cantor said, now the service is the official service has concluded. And I was like, please don't let there be an unofficial service. I can't take it anymore. I'm drenched from head to toe. My gray pants are now black. I'm like, I can't handle it anymore. And John goes, wait one second. I want to shovel some more. And I'm like, shovel some more? You're really looking to help your dad get down there. And then poor Kevin, he brought some flowers to throw in the grave. And he asked John, and John said, no, don't do that.
Is that what John told me?
Yes, John said, no, don't do that. Yes. Kevin said, I brought these flowers. Can I throw them in there? Like, can I leave them with your dad, essentially? I forgot how he said it. Can I leave them with your dad? But then John said, no, don't do that.
Nope, it needs to be pristine.
Well, probably he was going to go back. He was probably going to go back and retrieve them and trade them into the Publix.
Jesus Christ.
Get some money.
They need to rent these.
We got to get you on the show more. Yeah, I'm just renting these. Can I take them back? Well,
someday I'll tell you. Someday when you have time, I'll tell you the story of how I met Irving.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. Honestly, I wanted to get you on for a long time, and you've been a character on the show for a long time. So I felt like it was time. This was the most appropriate time to show that one of the ways that our family has always dealt with strife and tragedy is through humor. And
the best way.
Yes.
And it's the best way.
Now I'm continuing into my 40s to deal with strife and tragedy. So I just continue with the commercial break. I did like Irving. I did think he was a very sweet gentleman, and I know he was always good to you, and you were good to him. So, it's sad to see him go. We're always here for you, and we love you very much.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you both very much. I enjoyed it.
All right, Mom. Well, listen, we got to get going. We got other things to take care of around the house.
Well, I
got
to watch the end of Judge Judy. So yeah. Yes. Keep going.
Make sure you figure out who's guilty.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Well, bye.
Bye.
Told you it was true. Told you. Every bit of it was true. It's crazy how that funeral went down.
Your mom's the best.
She is. She's a sweet lady. She really is.
On air, too. She's like top notch.
She's good.
Yeah.
She's been on air on every version of On Air that I've done. On 96.7 The Legend, Late Night The Legend, Scam Cole FM, and now the commercial break.
Nice.
She's made it on all three of them. And but by the way, the other two failed miserably, so...
Whoa!
Uh-oh.
Don't say that. Third time's a charm.
I know. Here's to you, Irving, Pee-wee, Sinead.
Cheers!
You've all been wonderful.
Yes.
We'll see you on the other side. TCBpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video, right there, one location. And get your free What Would Frankie B Do sticker. All you have to do is send us your address, and we'll drop those in the mail. We do that about every week or two, so you'll get it in the next couple of weeks. fear not, but make sure you send us your physical address, because if you just leave your name, I have no idea where to send it. And that's happened a few times. So you need to send me your physical address, or send us your physical address. Astrid will confirm that she's sending it. 855-TCB-8383, 1-855-TCB-8383. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, or funeral stories, we'll take them all. Toll free. Just hit us up. You know it. We love to hear from you. We love it. We love it. We love it. Leave those Apple reviews. We love that also. You can do us a huge favor. My next goal, subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'd love to get to 5,000 before the end of the year. And the algorithm does us no favors because of the nature of our content. So you have to go and subscribe if we want to grow the channel. I would really appreciate it. Chrissy would really appreciate it. The whole team here
Your mom would appreciate it.
My mom would appreciate it. And to let you know, the YouTube videos are great. They're really funny. You can listen to it here and then go watch it there. It's two different shows. It's the same show, but it's two different things. Trust me. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. You know the story. We love you. Thank you for listening, and we're all going to go eventually, Chrissy.
I know.
We can only hope we give a laugh on the way out the
door.
That's right. All right, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say. Goodbye,
bye.
Irving.
This is...